Brothers and sisters, the passage of today's gospel is about the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he manifested himself in his divinity. So the apostles only knew him as a human being, but he manifested himself as the Son of God. Needless to say, it has been a source of much wonderment in the Catholic spirituality. Has been a source of much wonderment in our formation to the diaconate, for example. The Feast of the Transfiguration is actually celebrated usually on August 6th, but it's also in our gospel reading of today because it has profound meaning for the season of Lent. We read from St. Mark how the Lord spent a prayer vigil at the top of the mountain that we now call Mount Tabor. And he chose three apostles, to accompany him. When they got to the top, they were probably tired, so they were not talking. They were forced to silence and meditation. And suddenly, when they least expected, Jesus became very luminous. He was like a lightning. His clothes became dazzling white, says the gospel. St. Matthew writes about the same scene, and he adds, his face shone like the sun. The apostles must have wondered, what is happening here? And they saw that Moses and Elijah appeared and started talking to Jesus, probably about his impending passion and his death. When I was meditating on this passage, I imagined what it would have been to be physically there. And to be so terrified. What was so terrifying about this? So, how can we imagine this? And there, you know, I thought that the impact that Jesus must have had on the sight of the disciples and even on his clothing that became so white, it may be equivalent to what happened that he did leave a mark of that, or we have what could be a mark of that is in the Shroud of Turin. As you may know, the Shroud of Turin is a rectangular piece of cloth. It's about 14 foot long and 3 feet, 3.5 feet wide, kept in the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist in Turin. And many scientists and religious people today think that there's substantial evidence supporting the belief that this piece of cloth was covering Jesus at the time of his resurrection, where he might have had a similar transfiguration. And he left a mark on that cloth. The shroud, obviously, you know, it's made of linen, is not a non-photographically sensitive piece of cloth. And he left a three-dimensional photographic negative image of a person. In this image, you can see his blood. In this image, you can see his bones. You can see his flesh. You can see his hands. You can see a wound in his chest. You can see the marks of the nails in his hands and his feet. You can see the scourging. You can count the number of scourges he received. Thanks to modern technology, the image on the shroud can be examined more thoroughly than ever before. It's actually very studied, very highly studied, more than anything else, even more than the tilma of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And Father Robert Spitzer, who's a renowned author and speaker, explains that it is the source of much wonderful meditation about the Passion of Christ. But the reason I bring it up is because it probably shows us the luminosity that the apostles were seeing during the transubstantiation. I mean, it's impossible to replicate that, the Shroud of Turin. And what they have found is that they could possibly theoretically reproduce it if they were able to radiate with ultraviolet radiation so intensely to be equivalent to 6 to 8 billion watts of luminous power, equivalent to, for you to better grasp this, to 500,000 searchlight worth. And it would have to happen for 140 billionth of a second. That's the intensity of what the apostles were seeing, probably. And I know I'm doing a little bit of a theological speculation, and I apologize for that, but I just wanted to kind of bring up the analogy that it may have been the same effect, the luminosity of the face of the Lord, worth half a million searchlights. You know, in all the labs of the world, you could not replicate that today. Whatever that was accomplished with, if it was not supernatural, it's not been invented. As I said, the passage of the Transfiguration was very important for them to see, to get a preview of what it's like to be to see Jesus as in his divinity. So they got a preview of heaven to see Jesus in a way that what he may look like in heaven. They saw what they had seen had never seen before, and they also heard what they had never heard before. This is very important in Lent, because Lent is an invitation for us to climb to another mountain. And this, the mountain that we're being invited to climb with Jesus, is Mount Calvary, especially in Holy Week. And this is why we're doing the Stations of the Cross, because we need to accompany our Lord Jesus Christ on his way to his crucifixion, so that we can be prepared for our encounter with him as the risen Jesus Christ. The entire period of Lent leads us to that preparation. So in the New Testament, the apostles were hearing something that they had never heard before, and actually the direct voice of God the Father is only heard three times in the New Testament. You know, once when he was baptized, he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Another time it was in chapter 12 of St. John, when some Greeks arrived, and the voice of the Lord was heard saying, "I have glorified him, and I will glorify him." It refers to Jesus. And then the third one is this one, where he says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." So when God the Father is telling us that, we really, really ought to listen. So what God the Father means in his words is, "Here's everything I want to tell you through him, the Word of God, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, who speaks to you in my name. Everything's there. He's telling you everything you need to know." So he comes to be heard, especially during Lent. So he wants to have, in our souls, to have a transfiguration of its own, a transformation. I remember when I was a student, I laughed at a joke that my boss said. He liked to give witty jokes, and he said, there was this bumper sticker that said, "Jesus is the answer," and somebody wrote on top of it, "What was the question?" And I laughed. And I can't believe I did that, how shallow I was. Because the question is very important, or the questions. The answer is not a joke. Through all history, mankind has searched for answers and pressing questions that reside deeply in our hearts. Why are we here? What is the meaning of life? How can we find happiness in life? Why is there suffering and evil? What is the ultimate meaning of our existence? Those are the questions. Throughout history, man has asked God that question, and his response is surprising, because he did not give us a philosophical school, or he did not give us a how-to manual on self-improvement. He gave us the person of Jesus Christ, his beloved Son. In his life, his teaching, his death, and his resurrection, God answered all these questions for us. So Christ himself is the answer. So when God the Father directs the apostles to listen to him, he really means it. We hear a lot of voices in life. We hear the voices of the world, the voices of the devil, the voices of digital media, the voice of our selfishness. But we need to hear the voice of God. And he's telling us, Christ is the answer. So we need to then ask ourselves, is he my answer? Do I listen to Christ? Do I follow him? He's the center of the universe, but is he center of my universe? The Father wants him to be. That's why he sent him in the first place. But he leaves us free to make our choice. So let us ask our mother in heaven, the Virgin Mary, for her blessings and for her help in us opening our hearts to the Lord to listen to Jesus Christ. Amen.